Heart to Heart is being brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services. Here's Jackie LeBeau.
Good morning, everybody. Did you hear that weather report? I am loving this weather. We were out Sunday. I've been telling you, I've been learning golf again, and we had the perfect day, and here it is again, perfect weather. You know, I've heard a lot of people, you know, complaining a little bit about how cool it's been this summer, but I got to tell you, I love it when it's cooler like this, and, you know, just you just feel like being out. It's crisp, and it's nice, so enjoy it. Enjoy it. So it's going to be great. So we get a little break here from all the rain we've been getting. So this morning, my guest is the very most special guy in my life, my husband, Larry. We were having conversation this morning over breakfast, and we were just talking about intuition and things like that. I have a class coming up, and I said, well, you ought to just come into the station and chat with me. So he is here. Welcome, Larry.
Hello, everyone. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, so we were talking, you know, about the thought that every one of us has intuition that we use, you know, whether you call it psychic or not. You know, we all have that sixth sense. And you really can learn to hone that a little bit and use it more. And the base of that is just learning to trust it. And we found that true, haven't we?
Yes. I think that's the key, is learning to trust, because we all get a feeling. We all seem to know something might be going on. You feel things from people. You feel things in the world, or you might get a gut feeling, we all say, about a decision. And then too often we let our logical mind take over and try to work it out when our first impression or our gut gave us the answer, and maybe the best answer right away.
Yeah, I always tell people, you know, figure out where in your body you get that feeling, because a lot of people say they'll get it, you know, they might feel queasy about something, but sometimes your heart will race, you know, so there's different areas of your body that's connected to, but it's so true. And, you know, you can use your sixth sense with lots of decisions. And, you know, your intuition, truly, it can connect you with people that you should meet and that you need to know. It will guide you towards work that's meaningful to you from a career standpoint. It brings you joy. And there's so many areas that it can be involved with.
That's true. I have found, especially now that I've come to trust my gut, I especially use it in business meeting situations. I have a lot of times where I'm in a room with 6 or 8 or 10 and even 15, 20 people, and you can gain a lot of ground if you use your instincts instead of just always trying to listen to the words explicitly, or I call it reading the situation. And I try to remember to sit back and see what I think's going on from inside instead of from outside. And it's paid off a lot of times, because people sometimes come to meetings with other things on their mind and other agendas. And if you can feel your way through it instead of just hinging on the word, it often gets me further.
Yeah, you know, honey, sometimes I wonder if it's not your hearing deficiency that's really helped hone those other senses for you.
That is a good point. I do wear hearing aids, for those of you out there. And over the years, I haven't always had hearing aids and went back and forth. And the more you have to rely on another sense, the more you innately develop the sixth sense. And that has happened to me even with my hearing aids. I certainly still have to see people's faces and read lips to a certain degree. And when that doesn't work, I do rely on what I'm getting otherwise. And to some extent, we call it reading body language and all those other tools we use. But I'm convinced there's a lot going on beyond that, and you use your intuition and telepathy and whatnot to supplement what's going on around you.
Yeah, and I think we all do that automatically without even thinking about what we're doing. It's just automatic.
That's correct.
You know, so it's something that you all are doing right now. you know, like Larry said, you walk into a room and you get a feeling that something's just not right, or that you see people that are already there and you can tell whether they're having an enjoyable conversation or maybe there was just an argument. And you can't always trust what comes out of people's mouths. We all know that. It's like they can be saying one thing but thinking something else. And there's where your intuition picks up those mixed signals.
Exactly.
Particularly in business situations, but not, I shouldn't say that, because in all situations.
I think it happens at dinner parties and on the golf course, wherever you may be, it's common enough. And it's not to say we think people are always lying or anything like that. It's just that the way your sixth sense works is different than the way your hearing, sight, and even though, you know, not quite so much the smell and touch aspects of these, but really what you hear and see is all valuable information, and you're certainly using it all. But in our modern society, we've become more inclined to rely on things we can only see, touch, and feel. If it's not right in front of me, it doesn't exist. And we have come to know that there's a lot more going on around us than just those things we can see and hear. And there's your intuition is a powerful tool. And learning how to use it better is good for everybody. And just recognizing that you can rely on it.
Right. I think that's the key. Just like with everything, like we've said with the animal communication, as well as just learning to recognize that it is there and it is a tool and you can use it. You know, I've often said I've looked up the definition of intuition, and it's defined as the ability to understand something immediately without the need for conscious reasoning, or a thing that one knows or considers likely from instinctive feeling rather than conscious reasoning. So it's really, when you get something, it's sort of like, it's just like a knowing. It's like, we like Larry and I call it a pop.
Yes, and we keep score with pops at home. And that is what it is. It's a knowing. And I would add that we, more so in the conversations we've had about animal communication, because that seems to be one step away for many people. How can you really get, you know, talk to an animal? And it is a telepathy, and it does come from your feelings, and it's not they're speaking English out loud, of course. So you have to be relying on your gut. Or where I was going is that people say, oh, it's just your imagination. And I question back to you, well, what is your imagination? Where does that come from exactly? And I don't know anybody who really has a good answer to that. And I don't either. But the point is, what you sometimes shrug off as imagination is really something else. You're really getting inputs from another avenue. And your intuition, your sixth sense, is not your imagination. It often is the right thing. I mean, nothing's 100%. But you're often getting it from there.
It's not 100%. And I always say that with people that I do readings for. You know, it's like, I don't expect to be 100% accurate, because, you know, you just can't be. So, but I think that question, where did that come from? I mean, you know, we all have that, like something pops in your head. And, you know, spirit sends us information a number of different ways. I mean, one of the ways that I get it is called clairvoyance, which is the ability to see pictures. So I'll see images. I might even just see the image of a word. I also get words, you know, actually words that, like, I hear. And I also get a sense of a feeling of things. So a lot of times I always tell people, if I am talking to spirit, particularly somebody who might have had polio, you know, I'll sense that in my legs or feel the brace. And so there's different ways that we get messages. And so it may come from you to you in different ways, and you're thinking, oh, that's not the way you're supposed to get it. But everybody gets it their own way. And probably one of the biggest things for us all is to figure out, well, which way is strongest for us?
Absolutely. And my way is, I would say, predominantly just an inner knowing. Sometimes there's images, especially with animals, but they're fleeting.
And that is the way images are for everybody. I always tell people, if you're practicing that, remember that it is quick, you know, and that's the way I do it in my classes. Like I'll hold a picture up really fast and just say, okay, what do you remember? Because that's how quick it is when you get images.
But the human mind does have quite a capacity to handle quick things, and we do it all the time. You know, you said you can have 10 things flash through your brain in literally a second, I'm sure faster, and you have to be able to – the trick, I think, not have to, but the trick lies in knowing that these things are not all just your imagination running away with itself or whatever, and – maybe the art is in being able to pick out the useful information and capture it as it flashes through your mind.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, too, is you can develop it further with practice.
Correct.
You know, so if you're feeling that what you're getting is the images, you know, and knowing that it can be very fleeting, you know, practice looking at something quick and then writing down everything that you remember. I'll tell you, the people in my classes are surprised how much they actually remembered when I tell them to write it down and then I hold the picture back up and they compare what they put down to what they see in the picture. Because I think it's just like you said, honey, it's like your mind captures so much more of that than you realize.
No doubt about it. And I don't know a lot about it, but there's trained observers I think of certain things that, you know, like CIA and so on, but these people there are training programs that train you to just how to observe and take in as much information as possible without trying to actually process it, and you'll find that you have a lot of it still there, and the more you work at that, the better you'll get.
I think that was a good point with that. Trying to process it, because that's where we trick ourselves. You know, we trip ourselves up with that. If we just put down everything we get with the image and not try to put meaning to it or figure out how it relates to something else, we'll be surprised how much we actually picked up, you know, physically looking at that. But it's like then we start to try to analyze what we saw. And that's when we trip ourselves up.
And I would never try to.
No, heavens no. You would not analyze that. You know, and I should also tell people that, you know, your intuition really can be grouped into three areas where you're inherently strong. Number one, what you love. So it's usually connected to the passions in your life, whether it be people or things or just learning who you love, you know, the people that you love in your life, and basic survival when you're in danger. Things really come in.
Now, the fear response is obviously one, and it's a good example, actually, of if there are doubters about what we're saying about your intuition, consider our ability to respond to fear. We all... we call it instinct takes over. There's a great question there. What is instinct? Mm-hmm. Much like what is imagination? Where does that come from? And we can say it's ingrained in our genes, but I believe there's a little more to everything. And that's a good example of you're going to react from the gut in a fear situation. And therefore, you may want to trust your gut other places.
Right. And you don't have time to analyze which way to go, if you have to flee. And, you know, you just go, you know, with what comes.
Or if you do analyze too much, might not work out.
That's right. You could get pounced on by that saber-toothed tiger.
Are there still saber-toothed tigers?
I don't know.
All right.
But truly, it's like you see a car coming, and like instinctively you move in a direction with your car, you know,
right.
And you don't have time to look around and say, okay, which is the best direction for me to turn,
right?
You know, and a lot of times, you know, that's, you know, our intuition and our angels helping us, you know, make the right decisions. So it's interesting.
And our angels probably help with our intuition on a regular basis, not just in fear.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We've talked about that a lot with people. Okay, well, we're going to take a short break, and then we'll be right back with more about intuition.
Heart to Heart is being brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services. Our racing report coming up after this.
Hey, Orioles fan.
Time now for more Heart to Heart with Jackie LeBro, brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services.
Okay, everybody, we're chatting about intuition and what it is and where it comes from and how you can trust it. And my guest this morning is my husband, Larry.
Hi again, everybody.
And so we were talking a lot about what intuition was or is and how we use it. But, you know, there's got to be a way for most people to distinguish between intuition and imagination, you know. So I'll give you a couple clues of some ways that you can say when you're saying, was that really just my imagination? You know, one thing is, does the information come in immediately? There's no delay. There's no time for you to really imagine. So you're not putting your mind into gear. And that's, you know, what we've called, honey, pop.
Yeah, I agree with that. If you're not, if your mind's not wandering, if something just jumps in, it's likely to be your intuition or coming from at least another source besides your own imagination.
Right, right. So something's coming in. And another way is, does the information come out of nowhere and lead you to more information? Or is the information just sort of dead and doesn't lead to anything? So it's sort of like coming in for a purpose. You know, or sometimes, you know, you could just be getting a pop. Sometimes we just get a pop when we're watching golf and we're trying to decide whether the putt's going to go in.
Yes. But, I think there's actually a point there, is that not all intuition is going to be an earth-shattering event.
Yes.
You know,
good point.
But, and that part of practicing it. Part of getting familiar and good with knowing when you're getting a pop, is recognizing you could get it on small items and it happens all the time, as well as on more meaningful moments where you really could use a little guidance from your own gut, or like we said, sometimes it's your angels or some other input, but being open to it. When it comes in quickly, that's when you should be maybe paying attention, as opposed to when your mind is wandering and you stumble around on things.
Yeah, and I think that was a good point, honey, because people are thinking that if they're getting messages, whether it's their intuition or from those on the other side, it's like they're looking for the burning bush. They're thinking there's going to be something big. It's like, you know, or like, you know, voices, like, you know, you'll get the big, deep voice or whatever. And they don't realize, you know, that it can be really, really subtle.
Agreed. And the most meaningful messages might not be accompanied by lightning and a thunderclap.
Yeah, know? Yeah. Or
I always have that image in the movies. They have the clouds and the sun filtering through the clouds, and it flashes back and forth with the deep booming voice.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it's a great image. It's very effective. But real life, we don't always get these earth-shattering signals, but listening to your insides is still the trick.
Yeah, and it's as we get messages, a lot of people, you know, they feel, you know, that they do hear from God, and it's the same thing. It's subtle. You know, I always tell them, when it's not subtle is when you keep ignoring it. If you keep ignoring the same message over and over again, sooner or later you're going to get smacked.
Hopefully, at least, especially if you need that message.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's the point. If it's truly something that is really beneficial for you and you need to pay attention to it, it'll come back. So that's another good point I should make. You know, don't feel like if you miss it because it's so subtle, it's like gone forever and you'll never get that message again, because that's not how our intuition or spirit works. You know, they'll come back and try again until they get through. Which is a good thing.
Agreed.
definitely a good thing. So anyway, so a couple things I usually tell people, you know, when I have my class and we're talking about intuition and how they can improve it. So if you're thinking about how to work on yours a little bit, one thing is to just focus your intent, you know, set your intention that you're going to pay attention to what you get. You know, so that you're starting to, and you can even just say it out loud. You know, today I'm going to pay attention to every little message that I get, and I'm going to start to recognize that. And you don't have to say it out loud, but it's what you do. You have to follow, you know, what you get. And there was a very famous intuition trainer, Victor Beasley, PhD, who explained that energy follows thought. And what we choose to focus on expands. We're all hardwired for this ability anyway, so we open to it rather easily with a little attention paid to it. And I think that's absolutely true.
I think that makes great sense. I think we said it a little earlier. Everybody can do this. We're all built to use our intuition. And it's giving the attention necessary to that and focusing just a little bit on it that opens the doors.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing I tell folks in my class is to keep a journal, you know, and usually what I'm really talking, I have this little tiny notebook, you know, that actually will fit in my pocket. And I carry that around a lot with a little pen to sort of record impressions as they occur. Note what they are, when I got them, where I got them, how I felt. And it's just a couple key words that come in. You know, I don't sit down there and write a whole dissertation. And I remind people, you know, that little notebook isn't just for, you know, intuitive pops. It's also for just ideas that you get or feelings or observations, even jokes. So I always have this little notebook, and I always have carried something in my pocketbook so that I can just write down when I get an eye or somebody tells me about something that I want to remember. But it's a good way to keep a daily log of the hits and the misses that you get with your intuition.
And I find when I write things down, it tends to capture them or encapsulate them or, you know, get them clearer. And the need to write it down does help with the clarity. I have to admit, I'm not really as good at my wife as keeping a journal or doing any of that. I have never been that diligent about it, but I do write things down plenty to keep track. And I'll point out that in our world of technology, it doesn't have to be a notebook. It can be your cell phone has this capability, little recorders. You can use all kinds of techniques, but being willing to, as you get things, get them jotted down, whether it's electronically or physically, is one of the tricks to becoming better at doing it.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, honey, because I don't usually think of the electronic version because I have these little notepads. You know, I have them in the biscuit bag for when I take the dogs for a walk. I have them in my purse.
Well, you're sort of old-fashioned bit anyway. Although we both use technology quite a bit, as most of our modern world does, you do tend to use paper or little notepads.
Yeah.
And even in my work, I use computers all the time, but I do still rely on pieces of paper and folders for my tracking my different projects and so on.
Yeah, your to-do list. You know, the other thing about writing down these little hits and stuff that you get, that you might actually experience several accurate hits during the day, but you didn't really notice them and you wouldn't have remembered them unless you had them written down and you look back and it's like, oh, yeah, okay, that did happen, or I did, you know, that did occur. So it also keeps you more on target and helps you be more attentive to when it really does come through for you. So it definitely helps as well. The other thing I tell people is to keep like company. So, you know, make sure that you share your interests with people who have similar interests. you know, it helps you both, you know, grow faster and quicker. And spend time alone by yourself. In fact, there's lots of studies out there that have shown that people who have grown up as only children are more prone to being more intuitive and more psychically developed because they definitely have had more of that time by themselves and had more time to listen to that quiet voice within and go that route. And I often think of that with you too, honey, because even though you're not an only child, you were younger. And growing up, you did spend a lot of time on your own.
No, my brother was 5 years older than me and therefore quite distant in terms of being able to play with each other.
Yeah, when you're little.
And my older sister, well, older sisters and younger brothers, that doesn't work for a lot of reasons, but they always told me girls mature faster, and I think in some ways they do. And
so you spend a lot of time.
I did experience some time alone.
Right, and also you also were an artist, so you did painting.
Well, not so much as a little kid, but as a teenager, I did go in that direction for a while, and I would still like to get back to that. But the aspect of spending time alone, I think you somewhere in your advice to people, you would also point out meditation.
Right.
And I'm very bad at getting around to that one.
No, we fixed that.
We did? We did. We decided that you can meditate by playing music.
Yeah, I told him he loves playing the piano, and which he's excellent. And I told him, you know, honey, that's your piano meditation. You know, you get to sit around and, you know, and it's the other thing is you're so engrossed in what you do.
Well, that is the thing that finding whether it's piano or it's walking outside, it's finding that time away from all the input. And when you're playing the piano, most of the time you're really absorbed. If you're reading music, even you're really still absorbed in exactly what you're doing. Your mind may be focused on it, but it does free you from the outside world. And if you're out, you know, meditation, walking outside by yourself, getting away from all the input, the TV, the radio, and the conversation is a great way to get in touch with some other things that you can get from this world, and that's your intuition. And, you know, not to say you want to have to do this all the time, just
But it's so
separation.
It's so easy to do it because a lot of times people call it mindfulness. Jon Kabat-Zinn did a lot on that. There's a lot of books out there by him, and he's worked with a lot of medical facilities in helping people learn to calm and reduce stress. And again, it's at this mindfulness when you're totally focused on something else. It pulls you away from the, you know, monkey mind and what's all going on, like Larry said. And it can be as simple as washing the dishes. If you just have your total concentration on what you're doing, instead of sitting there going through your to-do list and what you still have to do and things like that.
Or reading the texts on your phone or listening to the radio, which we like people to listen to the radio. But interrupting that stream of information and doing something, maybe it's a semi-mundane task, or maybe it's playing an instrument, or maybe it's truly meditating, or just a walk in the woods. Whatever it is, it's separating yourself from all the input we're inundated with all the time.
And the walk in the woods is a good one because that was the other thing that I was going to bring up, that just spending time in nature can be really inspiring, and it's also very grounding. So that's another way to really get in tune with your intuition and, you know, just get out there whenever you can, you know, get that fresh air. And just don't be thinking the whole time about what you're doing. Just sort of take in what you're seeing as you're walking. and not have your mind focused every other way. Get that little bit of mindfulness just while you're out there taking a walk.
And this is all just a matter of part of the practice to get yourself open to receiving messages in other ways than you're not used to.
Yeah.
And you still want to practice then your intuition in your everyday life.
Right, absolutely. And then as you start getting these things, you know, notice them and don't discredit them, you know, and keep track of them, and you'll go far. So, and you can do all kinds of meditations like we talked about, but there's so much out there and it's actually so easy. You know, just make it easy. Just put a little bit of attention to it. So we're really running out of time, believe it or not. So that was very enjoyable. I love talking about intuition and how to open up. So we'll have to continue that another time. And we'll be right back after these messages, and we'll go from there.
Heart to Heart is being brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services.
Here's something everyone needs to think about.
This portion of Heart to Heart is being brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services. Here's Jackie LeBeau.
Okay, everybody, we're back, and that was fun. And I love giving everybody a little bit more information about intuition and how you can use it in your everyday life and how you can get better at using it. So it's a lot of fun. And in fact, if you're interested in learning more, I do have a class coming up Saturday, October 11th. It's called Opening Your Intuition, Tap Into Your Own Natural Psychic Abilities. So it's going to be held from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday morning, October 11th at All Is Well Associates at the Eichelberger Professional Center in Hanover. So if you're interested in that, you can give my office a call at 717-968-5289. And I'll give you more information and help you get set up for that. So that's always a fun class, and it's a great venue. I love teaching at the Eichelberger Center. And for you pet lovers out there, all you folks out there with the animals that you would love to talk to and find out more from and get a little more information from them, I also have an animal communication introductory class called What's Your Pet Saying? And that's going to be Saturday, October 4th. So that's the first one coming up, the first weekend in October, from 1 to 4 in the afternoon. It's going to be held at the VCA Bridgeport Animal Hospital. So it's going to be at a veterinary clinic in the Lancaster area. So that's going to be also, like I said, from 1 to 4 in the afternoon. And you can register by calling the office there at the Animal Hospital, 717-393-9074. And also, if you want more information on that, you can also call my office. I'll give you that number again, 717-968-5289. So both really fun classes, and it's a busy October for me. I also have another event coming up the very last Sunday. It's the 26th. It's my Cooking with Spirit, and it's going to be sort of how to survive the holidays. So it's coming up right before Thanksgiving and Christmas, and it's ways to make holiday entertaining easier. And again, we're going to be up in Mechanicsburg with the ever delightful Donna Desfor from There's a Chef in My Kitchen, and I'll have more information about that as well. You can also go on to my website. There's more information about all of these events, and that is JackieLeBeau.com, JackieLeBeau.com. So lots and lots of things coming up for October. I hope to see you at one of them. It's going to be a great season. So until then, we'll see you next Tuesday.
Heart to Heart is being brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services with Jackie LeBeau. News coming up.